It's good to be back, and of course that's your Sunday, but it was good, not the first time Tuesday nights for a while. We were studying Ruth, and so we're going to go back there. We have at least one more night, I believe, in the book of Ruth. So let's look at chapter 4 again, Ruth chapter 4. We'll read the first few verses. Verse 1, Ruth, capítulo 4, versículo 1, es donde vamos a comenzar. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsmen, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother's Elimelech's. And I thought to advise you, or advertise, I should say, thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it, but if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the land of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to rise up the name of the dead unto upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the king's men said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Chilion's, and all and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thy house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel to do thou worthily in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. That will be all that we'll read for now. And we trust the Lord will add his blessing to what we've read together. Just for a quick little review over the book of Ruth, and I think most of you have listened to this quite often, but it's good to get it ingrained in your mind because I hope you'll read it again because it's an interesting book, four simple chapters, and there's so much in it. And as you read it, you'll get out of it more than probably I have been able to get out of it. So let's just put it that way. In chapter 1, we're looking at the fact that Elimelech went down to Moab because of a famine. It's a picture to us of a person getting away from the Lord. They leave the house of bread because that's what Bethlehem means. They leave the assembly sometimes. They leave the enjoyments of Christian fellowship, and they go out into the world thinking that out there they're going to find what their heart's desire is. Well, they only find that out there is nothing but destruction and death and desolation. I mean, that's all they came across. It was one blow after another because of them wanting and leaving what God had provided for them. And so there they are down there. But you know, the interesting part is, while they were down in Moab, God is a God of grace. We were looking at that last Lord's Day as we're speaking about the Holy Spirit. And we're looking in there two times in the Word of God, once in the Old Testament and once in the New Testament, where the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Grace. And you know, that means so much to you and to me, because if it wasn't for His grace, we would not be here today. And you think of the Spirit of Grace, who overrode all the bad decisions of that Elimelech and Naomi and the two boys had made, going far away from where they should have been, yet the Spirit of Grace was still working. And what happened? Do you remember how that Ruth, and Orpha and Ruth got married to two of their sons, and then how Ruth was redeemed, how she was brought back all the way back to Naomi, to Bethlehem. And you know what made me think of this? When the gospel was being preached, most of it at first was just being preached in Jerusalem and just in that little tight network of area there where the gospel first went out. But then because of the persecution of Stephen, and that's the reason why Elimelech and Naomi left. It was because of the persecution of a famine. They left. And because of the persecution of Stephen in the New Testament, all the Christians, not all, but many of them, were scattered all over the region, all over the areas. And when they went, because they were Jews, they built synagogues. If you could call them churches. But they built these synagogues in many of these places. And when they were building the synagogues, they were still preaching the Bible. They're preaching the Word of God. And Gentiles were listening, and Gentiles were getting saved. In fact, if you go to Acts chapter 11, you'll see the very first Gentile church that was ever established in a place called Antioch. And that church is made up primarily of Gentile people. Well, what I'm thinking about is this. When Paul would go to Corinth, there was a synagogue. And there were already some people saved there. When Paul would go to Ephesus, there was a synagogue. And there were already some people saved there. And as he go from city to city, because of the persecution, Christians had established different places of testimony. And they were working and preaching the gospel. And people were getting saved. And so this is how the work grew and developed. And there was like a foothold. Well, here we have a Gentile coming back with Naomi, coming back to Bethlehem, and God is going to work through her in a mighty way. But there's another thing about this Gentile. When she came back in chapter 2, she was a devoted person. She was a person that really wanted to do something for God and for her family. And at all costs, she left her home. She went out into the field, and it was been difficult. It had been hard, but she was out there working, gleaning, the Bible says, gleaning the harvest that was out there. Well, that's what the Word of God is. It's a field. It's a harvest field for you and I to glean from. I want to tell you something. If you really want to glean from it, it's going to take work, a lot of work. One time, I think I may have used this before, but if not, it's okay. A preacher was preaching. And he was preaching good. Congregation loved it. As he stood at the door saying goodbye to everybody, a young man came up to him and said, "I would give my life to be able to preach like you preach." And you know what that man said, the preacher? He said, "Young man, that's what I had to do. I had to give my life to it." You know, the Word of God is not just something you just casually look at and expect to get a whole lot from it. The Word of God is something that you have to study and apply. And it's interesting, as you study it, you begin to enjoy it more. Believe me, I didn't like studying school, but I love studying the Word of God because of all that you get from it, the blessing it brings to you. And not only that, And you've all had it, I know. If you're experienced, when you're studying the Bible, you're reading the Bible, and a trial comes your way, a difficulty happens, and there you are. Your mind directly goes right back to something that you've been studying, something that you've been appreciating. And it applies, it fits perfectly into your situation at this particular time. So the Word of God, she was gleaning. It was costing her something. She had to spend time at it. So it is with us when it comes. Then from there, she went on and she was able to not only glean, but she was able to sit at the feet of her Redeemer, of Boaz. And here she was. She was in a form of what we would call worship today. Because what I get out of the Word of God will produce within me an attitude of worship and appreciation for what Christ is. And now we're going to come to chapter 4, and there's going to be that same young lady who had a conviction, came to the Bethlehem, worked diligently in the field, sat at the feet of Boaz, and now is going to enter into holy matrimony with this great man called Boaz. What a life, what an experience, and yet what a picture of you and me, because Boaz is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Redeemer. And Boaz, as we start here in chapter 4, he comes to the gate. We were telling you that last week, I think, or last time I was here, the gate was a place where transactions were taking place. It was like a courtroom. And it's in that place where you would come and you have a situation that needs to be dealt with. You have to have somebody that has to go on to trial or whatever the case may be. And they would come there to the gate and they would have all everybody sit there, the witnesses, the judge, and everything would take place. Well, that's what's happening here. This early morning hour, he is going to purchase his bride. And he's going to purchase her legally. He's going to purchase her, can I say, openly. He's going to purchase her honestly. He's going to purchase her totally. In other words, every bit of this transaction is going to be able to withstand the scrutiny, the examination of the most critical eye, of the most critical critic. It's going to be done absolutely perfectly. Perfect. So he brings everything in order. Now what I want to bring out of that is, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to be our Redeemer, he went to the cross. He did it openly. Every eye that was there could see him. He did it perfectly. Not one thing was left undone. He could say, finished. It was done. He did it honestly. Everything that God required to provide salvation for you and me, he did it honestly, to where it was done in such a way that not even the devil, the accuser of the brethren, he is called, can find fault or any area of this that is faulty or failing. He did it perfectly. And so this is the work of redemption. You know, it says about here, and when we just go through some of this quickly, I don't really remember how much this is review and how much isn't. So if I don't remember, you probably don't either. The idea is here, as he goes down, he's telling this next of kin. Actually, the word kinsmen and redeemer are found 14 times alone in this chapter. And he's talking to this next of kin that's the closest person to Naomi and to Ruth. And he says to him in verse number 4, he says, I thought to advertise or to let you know the saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. And then he goes on and he says, I will redeem it. And Boaz explains to them what it would mean to have to be able to redeem it. And it says the king's men said, "I cannot redeem it. And for it myself, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance." Notice his selfishness. Notice how he's thinking about himself, my own. And he says, "Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it." So back in verse 1, Boaz calls him as he's coming out from the city and he's going out to his field to work probably, and he's going past the gate of the city. Boaz is sitting there and he says in verse 1, he says, "Ho, such a one." In other words, it's like saying to him, "Hey, you over there, so-and-so, come over here. I want to talk to you." I mean, he probably knew his name, but he didn't mention his name. Why? Because I don't really know why, but I know that this man wanted to protect his name. He says, notice what he says there. He says, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance." He didn't want to mar his name. He did not want to mar his inheritance. Do you know who he is? I don't know. You don't either. But you know, the very thing he wanted to protect, he lost. Because of selfishness, he lost it. But I want to see this as a picture. I think last time I talked to you, I think I said it's a picture of the law. The law cannot redeem us by itself. It can only condemn us. And when he says, "I cannot," let's look at a few verses, if you will. Romans chapter 8, I think it's the first verse I want to go to. And I want to see a picture of this man as he is a picture of three different types of people. I'm going to bring to your, I hope to your attention. Three different types of people. Romans chapter 8. In verse 3, Romanos 8, versículo 3, es una, ese hombre en capítulo 4 de Ruth es un cuadro de la ley, primeramente. In verse 3, it says, "For what the law could not do." Remember what that man says? "I cannot." What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. The law could never save us. You remember when the law was given in the book of Exodus, the people, when they heard what God required, they said, "All that the Lord has said, we will do." And they could not do it. Just like you and I, we cannot do what the law demands. We cannot keep the law in order to get ourselves fit for heaven or make ourselves right before God. The law condemns us. Wherever we turn, it condemns us. That's all the law could do. But the Lord Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer, came to us and he could do what the law could not do, and he was able to save us from our sins. So the first picture that I see of this man is he's a picture of the law when he says, I cannot redeem it. The law could never redeem us. But then he's also a picture of something else. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Efesios capítulo 4 y versículos 22 a 24. No solo es un cuadro de lo que es la ley, sino es un cuadro del primer hombre, es decir, el viejo hombre que está, aunque estaba en nosotros. Y eso es lo que se dice en versículo 22. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." The old man, which is, what is he? Corrupt. According to the deceitful lust. He said, that's what the first person is. This is a picture. That first man that came to redeem, he couldn't. The old nature inside of me that I had at my natural birth, it could not save me. There was nothing about myself that could save myself. And so that's the first man that's here in this particular picture that we have in Ruth chapter 4. But thanks be God, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has come, and he says, put on the new man, that we are born again in Christ Jesus, and he has given us a new man that is after God. And it is created in righteousness and true holiness. And so the manifestations of the new man is he wants to do the things that are according to God, after God, likeness in God. And then in righteousness. And then true holiness. So what this old man could not do, the first kinsman, he wasn't able to do. The old man couldn't do anything for us as well. He's not able to. So you get the first picture is, it could be a picture of the law of God that man cannot keep to get to heaven. But the Lord Jesus Christ came. He could be a picture of the old man that you had by nature when you were born into this world. But there's another thing that he could be a picture of. And let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Otro cuadro de ese hombre es que se ve en Gálatas capítulo 5 entre la carne y el espíritu. Y que el primer hombre en Ruth capítulo 4 es un cuadro de la carne. So we have here in Galatians chapter 5 in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Here we have it again, another cannot. The idea of the flesh is that which is inside of us, and that which is always working against us and against the workings of the Spirit of God. And he will make it sure that we cannot do what we should do for the Lord. So these are three different aspects of this old this man. And because of his own selfishness, trying to preserve himself, he ends up losing everything. Now, let's go back to Ruth chapter 4. There's one or two more things, and then we will call it quits. Remember that in verse 8, the contract was made, and Boaz said, I will pay the price, I will purchase her. It says, well, and the king's man, the original one, he took off his shoe, and he gave it to Boaz. That was a contract that was made. Now, what I want you to go and look at is in verse number 9. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought. Look at verse 10. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. How much did he pay? What was the price tag? I don't know. And you don't know. It's not mentioned. How many colors were there in the coat of many colors that Joseph wore? I don't know. You don't know. That coat of many colors speaks to us of the beauties of Christ. Beyond comprehension. Beyond our understanding. This here speaks to us of the price that Christ was willing to pay for our salvation. You and I, for all eternity, will not be able to understand the full price that he paid. What it took in himself as in his person. Who he had to be in order to pay for our redemption. What he had to do in order to pay for our redemption. It is an infinite price. And just as he is infinite, and that's the reason why he had to be God to die for us. No one else could take our place. No one else could die for us. We're all finite. We're all limited. We can only go so far. We can only pay so much. But he can pay it in an infinite way, in a way that it never ceases to end. And we'll never fully know just what it cost him to be able to pay, to buy us, to purchase us, that we might be, and as he said in verse 10, his wife. I tell you, that's what's going to cause us to worship. But let me say one more thing about it. It says here in verse number 9, I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's at the hand of Naomi. How much did he pay? We don't know. But how much did he pay? It was sufficient to buy everything that was necessary to have a complete and full redemption. All. And this is what makes you sad. Remember back in chapter 1? There were two girls, weren't there? Orpha and Ruth. Ruth's husband was, let's see, in verse 10, I think it tells us, moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon. Yeah, Ruth's husband was Mahlon. Orpha's husband was Chilion's. I hope I'm saying that right. Anyway, everything was purchased. Ruth could come. She was going to be the wife of Boaz. Boaz means one of strength. Remember in the temple, they had two pillars in the temple in Jerusalem that Solomon built. There was two pillars. One of those pillars' names was... Remember when Solomon looked at those straight pillars? They were so strong. They were so straight. They were so perfect in every way and holding up everything together. And he looked at those pillars. He says, what can I name these pillars? And to his mind came a person that was in his family line, maybe his great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather, some back in there. And his name was Boaz. And he said, that's the man. I will name that pillar there Boaz, because of its strength, because of its dignity, because of its worth, because of all that it is and what it all represents, I'm going to name that pillar Boaz. Now, Boaz was able to pay for everything, and it would have included Orpha. She could have come. She could have entered into the good of it all this redemption. She could have been bought and been able to enter into all the riches that Ruth was entering into, because he paid for all. Now, what am I going with this? When the judgment seat comes, and sinners have to stand before that great white throne judgment, and before the Lord Jesus, who will have those prints in his hands and in his feet, and the spear with the wounds in his side. And they will stand before him. They will never be able to put the accusation or and the index finger out there and say, listen, I wasn't saved because there was no salvation for me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only well-beloved son. There is salvation for everyone. The redemption, the price that Christ paid, it's not a limited redemption. It's not something that just those who get saved, and he has a point where, well, it just won't go any further, so we better call everybody up to heaven now because there's nothing left. No, no, it's not like that at all. It's a redemption that is ample, it is full, it is universal, it is for every person. Not one person that dies and in their sins and go to the place called hell and then into the lake of fire for all eternity will be able to say, I'm here because there was no salvation for me. Listen, there's salvation for everyone. And as I said, the price he was willing to pay and had to pay was an infinite price. You'll never be able to understand it, nor will I. For all eternity, he bought it. He purchased it with his own blood, paid the price, and everyone, as it says here, could have been saved. How sad, Orpah, how sad to think she died, went out into eternity, and left behind a golden opportunity. God was working with her. God had brought her in contact with a family that could have been blessing, been a blessing to her. He was doing all this for her. And she just said, no. And she went out and left it all. Ruth, on the other hand, said, yes, I'll go and serve that one whom you serve, the Lord God Almighty. And she entered into this beautiful relationship through Boaz. And so these little pictures, and I just want to close with one thing, because, and I maybe touch it next time. We're going to finish, I think, next week, okay? But one thing I really wanted to get to, and I know my time's gone, but I just want you to look at one thing in verse 11. The court session is almost all done. The only thing that's left is the prayer. You know, they're trying to get rid of that now and in our courts and everything. It used to be that whenever there was a court session, always at least open in prayer. I don't even know if they do that anymore. But anyway, this one closes in prayer. And you know what they're praying? He said that the Lord make the woman which, that is come into thy house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. We have more to say about this next time, but listen. Ruth, in chapter 1, was a follower, right? She was following Naomi. Naomi knew the way. She followed her right up into Bethlehem. In chapter 2, she's a gleaner. We already talked about that. In chapter 3, she's a worshiper at the feet of Boaz. Now in chapter 4, she's a builder. She's building. You see the steps? Following, gleaning, worshiping, building. Chapter 9 of Proverbs talks about the wise woman who buildeth her house. And so God wants us to be that way. People who are builders, spiritually building into our own lives, into our families, and into the assemblies. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for the good word of God, and we trust that we'll be a blessing to us tonight, and we've looked over certain things that we've already talked about, but yet it's good to refresh our minds over them again. And we just pray that thou will help us to appreciate the tremendous price that was paid to purchase our redemption. And in so doing, it will obviously bring out the best in us, that we might be able to serve thee with glad hearts and appreciation for all that has been done on our behalf. We pray they'll take us to our homes in safety. So we ask it in the lovely name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.